Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Let me speak to you about the design and the end of miracles. The place to begin this study is with a clear definition of a miracle. So many things are called miracles that really do not fit the definition. A miracle is not something that is simply marvelous and wonderful and amazing and unexplainable. Certainly a miracle is wondrous. It is marvelous. But many things fit that description which are not miracles. A preacher was speaking on miracles in one Sunday, and he asked if anybody knew what a miracle was. He had the habit of eating Sunday meals with the same family every time that he visited the congregation. The little boy of that home spoke up loud and clear that everyone could hear. He said, "Mother said it would be a miracle if you ate dinner somewhere else today." Well, it may not always be too wise to ask for definitions from your hearers. But people are prone to attach the label of miracle upon many things that are startling and great, but they're not really the result of the miraculous. Friend, a miracle is supernatural, a direct, observable intervention of God, over and above and beyond and even contrary to the known laws of nature. It would include what the Bible calls signs and wonders. But the word that must be stressed is supernatural. Now, in order for our answer to the above question, do you believe in miracles? In order for that to be correct, it must be qualified, whether you answer yes or whether you answer no. Yes, we believe in the miracles recorded in the Bible. They are historical fact, and they are presented so. We do not question the truthfulness of miracles as recorded in the Bible, not in the slightest. But no, we do not believe that miracles are being performed today. Strange as that might sound at first, we believe these two things about miracles for the very same reason. Both answers are based upon the biblical testimony and evidence regarding miracles, and we accept what the Bible teaches about it. In the Bible, the miracles were performed in every dispensation, patriarchal, Mosaic, and Christian. The world, of course, began by a miracle. God spoke, and it was so. It was a direct intervention of God. It was supernatural. It brought nature into reality. There are numerous records of miracles throughout the Old and the New Testament. God's Word is God-breathed, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Therefore, we have no doubt about the accuracy of what God has said. In fact, the validity of Christianity is dependent upon the reality of miracles that are recorded. The virgin birth was a miracle. His atoning blood is miraculous. The evidences of Christ's deity are miraculous in the signs and wonders that he performed. The resurrection and the ascension of Christ were miracles. The event of Pentecost included the miraculous. Miracles were performed by the apostles. To deny the miraculous is to deny the Bible, and that's to deny Christianity as being from God. Modernists begin their consideration of the Bible record with a repudiation of the supernatural. That is the basis upon which they approach Bible study. Little wonder that they dismiss what the Bible teaches on anything. Now, miracles had certain purposes. There were goals to be achieved by the use of the miraculous. Miracles are not done for sensationalism and showmanship and entertainment. Jesus refused to perform miracles when he was before Herod, because Herod's motive was simply to see something that would entertain him. Nor were the miracles primarily for the purpose of showing the compassion of Christ, although the miracles often did that. But there were other goals than these. While the plan of salvation came into being by the miraculous events, the process of saving a soul from spiritual death is not miraculous, but the operation of God's spiritual law. There were records of conversion which included miracles, But the miracles were incidental to the way that God saves man and were not a part of the converting and saving process itself. Conversion was always and still is affected by the Word of God, belief in the Lord of whom the Word speaks, and obedience to the law of Christ. There is nothing miraculous about the plan of salvation except its origin and revelation. Miracles were for the purpose of proving and authenticating and confirming the messenger and his message as being from God. Moses stood before Pharaoh and performed the signs as evidence he spoke in the name of Jehovah. The prophets sent from Judah to Bethel worked miracles that convinced Jeroboam the prophet was true prophet of God. Naaman was convinced that there is no God in all the earth except the God of Israel, being convinced by the miraculous cure that he enjoyed. The Israelites were convinced to serve God because of the miraculous things that were performed on Mount Carmel in the contest between Elijah and the false prophets of Baal. The widow of Zarephath said, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of God is in thy mouth." 1 Kings 17 and verse 24, referring to the miracle of the prophet raising her son to life. Her statement is similar to that of Nicodemus regarding Christ. "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." John 3 and verse 2. Mark 16 and verse 20 teaches that the working of these signs and wonders by the apostles would serve to confirm the word that they taught. The written record of the signs of Jesus were to be convincing evidence that he is the Son of God. John 20, 30 and 31. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 32, Peter said, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." The word, however, is now confirmed, and was confirmed by the working of these things. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Miracles were to demonstrate the glory of God. John 3, 2 and John 11, verse 40. Miracles showed the power of God. Mark 2 and Acts 3. We make the observation especially with respect to the sign of tongues or languages, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Foreign tongues were a sign to Israel of their alienation from God, Deuteronomy chapter 28. The tongues on Pentecost certainly demonstrated the inspiration of the words spoken by the prophets and the apostles, and provided that way of speaking miraculously for the people of many languages. Speaking in tongues at the house of Cornelius was a sign of the end of that special relationship the Jews had with God as God's chosen people, because now the purpose of their choice was accomplished in Christ. The tongues were a sign that the gospel is for all, on the same terms, whether Jew or Gentile. That men of every nation can be acceptable to God is made evident from Acts chapter 10. Acts 11, and Acts chapter 15. And it was convincing to Jewish Christians that repentance unto life was granted to Gentiles at the household of Cornelius. Or does not God perform miracles in answer to prayer? Now there are biblical records that show that God has answered some prayers with the use of miracles. Many can be cited, such as the prayer of Hezekiah, the prayer of Elijah at Carmel concerning the altar. But the question must be, does God answer prayer today by miracles? Whether God answers prayer or not is not the question. James 5 and verse 16 affirms that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Yes, God answers prayer. But how? That same passage in James gives us the answer. James recalled the prayer of Elijah regarding the end of a drought. We turn back to 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18, and we see how God answered that prayer.
Elijah prayed and clouds appeared that produced the rain that ended the drought. Was that a miracle? Well, it was most certainly the answer to the prayer by the working of what we would call the law of nature, namely, rain coming from clouds. When God has determined how He will operate, friend, we must accept what He declares and not read miracle into something that is not supernatural. God can answer prayer through providence as well as the miraculous. To say He cannot and does not would be a limitation on the power of God and disrespect for His self-imposed limitation that He's declared about miracles. And this leads us to the next point. Friend, the days of miracles have ceased because God has limited Himself. We have three evidences from Scripture that this is true. The first is the purpose of miracles has already been accomplished. The word has already been confirmed, Hebrews 2, 3, and 4. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and notice now, and was confirmed, past tense, unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Why, the claim for the need of miracles today is a false claim, inasmuch as the all-sufficient word has already been delivered and already been confirmed. Again, the ones to whom miraculous powers were given have long since been dead. The apostles were granted that ability, Matthew 10. Also, others were given this unique power by the laying on of apostolic hands. This was an ability that belonged exclusively to the apostles to impart the power of miraculous to somebody else. The apostles are dead. The ones on whom they laid their hands are dead. Friend, there are no living miracle workers today. Now, true enough, there are those who claim such power, but they do not and cannot perform what is recorded in Scripture. Where goes the claim, must go the demonstration. Biblical miracles were not psychosomatic problems being corrected under super-emotionalism conditions. Such things are not the miraculous. Why, parents kiss away the hurt, so to speak, from their children all the time. Preachers and elders and counselors and others engage in this kind of so-called healing. That's not miraculous. But again, the cessation of miracles is revealed to us by explicit New Testament teaching. First consider Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 13. When we read that text, we see that Christ gave gifts to men for the purpose of perfecting the saints and making the church mature and steadfast. How long was this to be done? The Scripture says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now, friend, Scripture does not read like some of these modern-day perverted Bibles, like the Living Bible and the New International Bible, and like the Living Bible. These gifts were not to continue until everybody believes alike, or until all are united. But they were to last until the fullness, oneness, wholeness, completeness of the faith was accomplished and was confirmed. And as we've already noted, this has already been done, Jude 3, Hebrews 2, 3, and 4. But let us remark here in passing that it is one of the bewildering characteristics of some, even in the Brotherhood, who continue to use and endorse such perverted books as these versions that distort and misrepresent the will of God so grossly and deliberately. The Brotherhood faces a real problem as to how long it will continue to support preachers and schools and papers that will not face and conform to the truth regarding these things. Repeatedly, we have solicited from the promoters and endorsers of these perverted volumes just what justification they offer for promoting them as they teach error. If you ever get an answer, and that's seldom, It reduces down to this. We're going to do whatever we like. But once again, back to Scripture. In 1 Corinthians 13:8 through 10, it is also relevant to the cessation of miracles. The text affirms that these miracles would cease, they would vanish away, they would fail. And it tells when. When that which is perfect is come. Now notice, friend, it is not when he who is perfect will come, but that which is perfect is come. And this refers to the perfect law of liberty of James 1:25, which our passage affirms was given in parts or in portions. And when all the parts were revealed, then the confirming process, the miraculous, would cease. And again we take note, this has already been done. But one might complain that denying the miraculous today limits the power of God. Why not so? Certainly God can do whatever God wills to do. The question is, what has God willed to do? Not what power does God have. He created the first human by a miracle, but he does not do that now. Does this limit his power to say he does not do that now? He has fed an entire nation in the wilderness miraculously, but he does not do that now. Does it limit his power to say he does not feed nations miraculously like he did the Israelites in the wilderness? We thank God every day for our food and for our life, but such is not given to us miraculously. It's not ours apart from his will. And one final word, and this regarding the plan of salvation. Friend, the plan of salvation exists because of the miraculous. But it is error to teach that salvation itself is a miracle. One was heard to preach, we are to preach and God works the miracle. Friend, this is error to the core. One is saved through conformity to God's spiritual law and not the result of some miraculous operation, even though God operates, Colossians 2 and verse 12. He operates according to his law. The law is revealed in the Word. God does not work a miracle to save, but he saves through the Word. Many have been deceived by charlatans of today who claim miracle power. Many have exploited the biblically ignorant, the gullible, the naive, the misinformed, the desperate people who are in panic for some solution to problems and seek relief. The confusion regarding miracles is not totally outside the church. Thanks to false teachers among us, we have our problems about it. We have in our possession books and sermons and claims by those who profess to be Christians and college professors and heads of Bible departments who claim miracles are still being worked today. The undermining of the integrity of the Bible, friend, is at work with such claims as that. But thank God for the miracles that were done. But the revelation tells us they have ceased, and they will cease until the Lord returns with the resurrection of us all and the judgment. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.